all make mistakes. On Friday morning, I got such a shock listening to our broadcast. There's nothing wrong with the broadcast, I could see, until we come to the end. This that we had on Friday was a rerun from 3 years ago. And when the message had finished, we had a little announcement that came in, which ought not to have been there. I was inviting the people to come along this morning and hear Professor Tom Taylor from Pennsylvania. A little over 3 years ago. That should have been cleaned off, that tape. I'll do it when I get it back up. It won't happen again if I can avoid it. But these things happen. You see, for our broadcast, we have a little cassette down there all the time that gives the same introduction and the same close. And then in between that, you have the particular message that is being broadcast. But it seems that on this particular one, I had added in that little announcement the time that Tom Taylor was here. So if you were listening and wondered at it, and you come along and say, well, that doesn't look like Tom Taylor, well, you'll understand what happened. Now, may I ask you to open your Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. We'll read some verses from this book. Verse 1 from chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is coming up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now let us look at chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars is about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. May the Lord bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we would ask of thee now that all our hearts may be quietened before Thee as we seek to search into the meaning of Thy Word. Wilt Thou by Thy Holy Spirit touch each of our hearts and grant that conviction shall be wrought at this time, and that some poor struggling soul shall come to know the Saviour. These things we ask, giving thanks in His precious name. Amen. This is one portion, as you know, from the Word of God, that those unbelievers, as atheists, would like to obliterate from the Scriptures. But they seem to get more concerned about a fish than what they do with a man. See, the main object in the four chapters of Jonah is not to do with a fish at all. That's one of the side issues. The main issue here is a man and the inhabitants of a city and their relationship to God. But the old devil, you know, he'll do all that he can within his power to draw the smoke screen. So rather than get the message from the book of Jonah, he tries to bring up a lot of arguments about whether a fish could swallow a man or not. One old woman said, "I would believe it if it said that Jonah swallowed the whale." Well, I know some people that eat whale meat, but they don't swallow a whole whale, but they eat the meat just the same. Perhaps you've never done that. Maybe you've never seen whale meat in the store. I wonder if you know what it was if you saw it. But you know, during the war years, when the rationing was on, well, some people were glad to get a good whale steak and enjoyed it when they were hungry. Personally, I never was enticed with it. Didn't appeal to me at all, but some folks would like it. But we're not going to get tied up with the fish this morning. I want to direct your attention to some things regarding the man Jonah. As you read down through chapter 1 and into the opening verse of chapter 3, we're faced with the mandate that he received. A man who up to that time seemed to be living in somewhat of obscurity. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And then again you come to chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You see, my friend, some people could give an order and you wouldn't pay any attention to it. I'm sure that in the mail you get lots of things that you know before you open the envelope, you're not interested in it. You could almost rip it up and put it in the waste paper basket without opening the envelope. But you usually do. You open them up, and then you tear them up. And they're telling you, if you don't pay attention to this, you know what will happen. You may lose this, you may lose that, or you may be too late in taking out your insurance and so on, and if you die before that date, my, the expense you're going to leave for your dependents and all this. They put the fear of death on you in order to get you to take out their special insurance package. Or it may be you've got to win a big prize. Or if you just send for this, you'll get so many other things gratis. You know all that rubbish that comes in. You pay no attention to it. But if you get something sent in with from the IRS, when you don't tear that up and throw it away, or you're in trouble. You're in trouble anyway. But if you ignore it, it makes it worse. So there are some things that come in that you pay attention to. Other things, cast them aside. Might I say this to all our hearts today? It's an unfortunate thing that men and women today will not listen to the word of the Lord. You see, after all, the Bible distinctly says, God hath spoken. Now I understand that very soon we're going to have a speech from the White House. We've had lots of them before, and I suppose there'll be a lot more to come. But the President has said once or twice he's going to make a speech. Well, I suggest to you this, that when the President speaks, and if it's something special that's to be said, people listen. They might not agree, or they might agree. But whether they agree or disagree will not alter the fact they'll listen. They want to hear what the message is he's got to say. And if it's going to affect us, then you'll take the necessary course of action. But why is it when God speaks that men and women will ignore what God says? Now, might I ask you, what is your reaction to the message of God? You see, here was a man living away up in Galilee. Up to this time, he's just an unknown quantity. But the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Now, when the word of the Lord comes unto a person, what do you do? What is to be your response? If God has spoken, how should I react to the message from God? Can I afford to ignore it? Can I be like the ostrich and stick my head down in the sand and say, I don't believe there's a God? I don't believe there's any danger. Or am I going to be like the fool who says, no God for me? You've come across these kind of people, haven't you? Who'll tell you straight to your face, there's no God going to rule my life. I'm quite capable of ruling my own life. Bible says that's a foolish man. Here was Jonah. He received a mandate from God. God spoke to Jonah. Now when God speaks, may I suggest to all of us today, it's a mark of reason for us to listen and seek to understand what God is saying. Jonah understood the message. It wasn't couched, you know, in language that you couldn't understand. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. That's simple, isn't it? You don't need to have a university education to understand that. You don't need to have a doctorate, and you don't need to be a philosopher to understand that language. I was reading a rather humorous thing the other day. I thought it was humorous. This couple who didn't have very much, of course, but they made the sacrifice and they sent their boy off to have an education. He was going to specialize in language. And after he had had a term at the school, he came home on a visit. He certainly was going to impress his father and mother with his knowledge of words. And so he would be sitting there talking and looking at his mother, of course. And he says, I want to tell you a little narrative of something that happened at school. She says, John, what's a narrative? Oh, mother, he said, you say that. It's a tale. It's a tale, but you better say a narrative. Oh, I see, she said. So tell us your tale. So he told us his story. And then it was time to go to bed, but he decided he wanted to sit and read. His mother says, John, if you're going to sit there now, remember, before you go to bed, put out the light. Mother, he says, that's not what you say. Well, what do you say? He says, you say, extinguish the light. All right, she said. You do that to the light. So she went upstairs, and then there's something else she had forgot. So she came to the top of the stair, and she shouts down, and she was learning by now. She says, John, Will you take the cat by the narrative and extinguish it before you come to bed? You see how confusing things can be. You're better to stay with simple language that people understand. Jonah, you arise and go to Nineveh and cry against that city, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, you know, sometimes you don't like the message that you receive. And when Jonah received this mandate, he rebelled against God, for he didn't like what God was telling him. Isn't that a strange thing? First of all, it's very difficult to get people even to read the Word of God. And even if you convince them to read it, or you point it out to them, they don't want to receive it. And of course, if they do not receive the message from God, it means they reject it. And to reject God's word is to reject God. And here, poor Jonah, who ought to have accepted his mandate from God, and upon that authority, he should have gone and carried it out. Instead of that, he made a mistake. Of course, it's easy to make mistakes. It has been well said that the man that doesn't make a mistake has never made anything. But, you know, there are some people who would like you to understand that they never make mistakes. But some mistakes can be remedied. But other mistakes, you know, are really terminal. But watch the mistakes he made. When he rebelled against the mandate he received and made his mistake, the first mistake he made was he went in the wrong direction. He should have been traveling east or northeast from where he lived. Instead of that, he went away down south to take a ship that would take him to the west, to Tarshish. If we can believe the historians, Tarshish was in Spain. So at that time he was going to the furthest point he could reach. He was going to sail right across the Mediterranean, right to Spain. He was going to run as far away from God as he could. I suppose at that time, if there were planes and there had been big ships crossing the Atlantic, I suppose he would have come over to New York. And from there he would have gone right on to California. He would have gone as far away as he could go. So he took a ship. He got the wrong direction. And he paid the price. May I remind you, my friend, that to make the mistake of taking the wrong direction when God speaks, you'll have to pay the price. There's a price to be paid for rebellion. There's a price to be paid for going the path of sin. There's a price to be paid when you turn your back upon God and go down the broad road. And sometimes it's a heavy, heavy price. Oh, the price, oh, the cost. He paid the fare. I'm sure of this, there's a lot of people, if they had their life back, if they had the years that's behind them, if they could only go back, knowing what lay before them, they would have taken a different course. Running away from God. Isn't it a strange thing, from the very start, from the time that Adam sinned, you'll find that man has tried to hide from God. I don't know why. Why should people want to try and hide from God? Why should people try to get away to a place where they think God cannot find them? Even if you go down to the very depths, the depths to which this man went, God knows you're there. Go as far to the east or to the west, the north or the south, you cannot hide from God. You cannot get away from God, so why try it? God knows all about us. He knows our downsitting. He knows our uprising. He knows where we are. Here was a man who paid the price. There was a price he had to pay. But more than that, you find that he was rebuked by the very people that he sought to join himself to. When he went into the ship, there were sailors there. And when the storm arose, where was Jonah? He had still been going down. He went down to Joppa, he went down into the ship, down into the hold, and he was asleep when there was perishing men around him. A man who ought to have been away in Nineveh preaching the gospel, telling God's message to the people. Instead of that, he's sleeping down in the hold of a ship. While the heathen men who made up the crew, they're crying to their idols, to their false gods to help them. And they didn't know why the storm had come upon them. But when they come to this man, Jonah, they realized then he admitted that he was at fault. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? What a question. A question that came from ungodly men. To a man who professed to know God, the true living God. Why hast thou done this? Friend, when we make mistakes like what Jonah did, and we go down and keep going down, we're going to be questioned like that. Why hast thou done this? Suppose that question was directed to you today. You've never yet got right with God. You've never yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're still traveling the downward road. Still in your sin. If you were to die like that, you would perish eternally. And the question comes to you, why? Why hast thou done this? God has spoken. But you've closed your ears to the message of God. You've turned your back upon God. You're not going to listen to your friends who are Christians. You're not going to listen to anybody. You're going to pursue your own course and do your own thing, even if it brings you to destruction in the end. Why? Why hast thou done this? You answer it. And they took him up. And they cast him out. They cast him overboard. That's the way the world treats you, you know, when they're finished with you. I often sit and think of men who were great heroes. At least they were supposed to be great heroes. Sportsmen. Soccer players. People would cheer them and cheer them when they were playing a good game. But let them make one mistake, and the boos could be heard almost a mile away. Here's a man being cheered as a hero. Played in an international team. But the day he met his death on the field, trying to stop a little bag of air from going between the sticks. He died. But he was just taken away in the stretcher and carry on with the game. Is that all they think of you? I've known them who won great matches and died as paupers. Without a friend. That's the way the world treats you. They'll cast you out. They took Jonah and they cast him overboard. Finished with him. It's a blessing that God wasn't finished with him. God had a place prepared for him. and the fish was there to take him in. God prepared it. See, it was God who sent the storm. It was God who sent the fish. And God was looking after Jonah. You know, my friend, when the world casts you out, God will take you in. There's never been a sinner so far from God. But if he turns back, God will forgive him. The prodigal went as far down as he could go till he was in rags and tatters and grime. Filth. He came back. His father saw that he was washed and cleansed and clothed and brought in and seated at the table. God can take the beggar from the dunghill, make him fit to sit amongst princes. Oh, what the grace of God can do for the sinner. But not only did the man make mistakes and went down to the very depths, it was while he was down at the lowest ebb, right down there where all hope was gone, and the weeds were encircling round his neck, and he thought he was going to be choked. There was no way out. It was then he turned in true repentance, and he prayed unto the Lord. And you know, it's a strange thing. If you go down through chapter 2 that I read to you, you'll discover this, that Jonah was a man who knew quite a lot about the Bible. When he was in the tight corner, he began to think of what God had said. And he's quoting here from the Psalms. In his prayer, he's quoting these things. And then he reaches this conclusion. Salvation is of the Lord. How true that is. Jonah proved it. You see, he was in such a place at that time that no man could do anything for him. And he couldn't do anything for himself. He was a defeated man. And he was a desperate man. It seemed to be that if he was going to be delivered out of that living grave, so to speak, the fish, only God could take him out. Much of it was God that saw that he was in. And Jonah realized it was only God could bring him out. I know, my friend, the reason why a lot of people are not saved is because they've never reached that point. There's a lot of people who would like to be Christians, who would like to be saved, but they still think they can do it for themselves. They still think of something they can add to it, something they can do. No, my friend, if you've reached the stage where you realize you're a sinner, and if you die as a sinner, you'll be lost in hell. It's when you reach that stage that only God can save, and you have confessed that. And if you have to be saved, God must save you. When you reach that stage, there's hope for you. But if you think you can still do it for yourself, my friend, you're making another big mistake. God heard that man's prayer down in the dungeon. That living dungeon down in the depths of the Mediterranean Sea. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Oh, what an experience. Here is a miracle he experienced. You see, he remembered the word of God. And when he remembered the word of God, he repented. He acknowledged his need of God. And God delivered him. It's a wonderful thing how people remember the scriptures, you know, at certain times. Yes, I never forget a man. I met him a good number of miles away from where he was born. Standing in the shop one day, the shopkeeper said to me, "See that fellow coming over there? Yeah." He says, "He's one of your fellow countrymen." He says, "He's a Scotsman." I says, "Well, don't let on when he comes in, I'll test him." So when he came in, I said a few things to him, and he just looked at me and his eyes got big. He and I started to have a conversation. Of course, the conversation, he says, "You know, says, my mother was a Christian. I said, was she? Yes. And he says, you know, he said she had an awful lot of these verses from the Bible framed and round about the house. There was one up on the wall right at the foot of my bed. So it was the last thing I saw at night before I went to sleep. It was the first thing I saw in the morning. I said, could you tell me what it said on it? Now remember, he had been away from that home for many, many years. Yes, he says, I think I can. He says it went something like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, and it says something about heareth. I said, that's right, he that heareth. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. He said, what's after that? I said, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He remembered the text. He said he saw it every morning, he saw it every night. See, his mother saw to it that a little seed of the word got planted in the hearts of her children. He remembered the verse. It's a strange thing how people can remember statements from the Word of God when they're in difficulties. Here's a man in great difficulty. He remembered the Word of God. My friend, you should turn to the Word of God at all times. And when he turned to the Word of God, he repented. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He saw he was wrong and he repented. And he turns to God and he acknowledges his need. Salvation is of the Lord, and God delivered him. There's never yet been a sinner has cried to God for help who hasn't received it. I've never met anyone yet who asked God to save him and was turned away. The Lord said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, being saved is a real miracle. Because it's something you can't do for yourself. It's something no other person can do for you, not even the preacher. If a preacher professes that he can save people, he's a liar. I just put it mild. No preacher can save anyone. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's the only Savior that has been provided. God delivered him. Then there was the message he delivered. He repented. He was saved out of all his danger. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Isn't our God gracious? Oh, the grace of God. He speaks once, you turn away, but he doesn't leave you. He speaks again. And sometimes again he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now suppose you went to somebody's door and you rang the bell, or you knocked, and you knew perfectly well they were in, but they didn't answer the door. You know, it's an awful business to go to a door and you see the drapes moving a little, and you just take a little side glance and you see somebody peeping out the side of the drapes to see who's there. But you just keep your back there and pretend you didn't see them. And you wait. Well, I remember one place where I happened to look up. You had to go up a stair to get to this flat. This woman had a mirror set at an angle up there, and she could stand at the top of the window, at the window at the top of the stair, and all she could do was look into that mirror, and she could see who was standing on the step down there. See? I saw the mirror, and you could tell. But they didn't answer the door. Now I ask you, in all fairness, if you knew somebody was in, maybe a friend of yours or neighbor, and you knocked, and you knew they were there, but they didn't answer, how long would you stand? How often would you knock? Would you be patient and wait? Would you? When you go to the phone, how often do you let it ring before you hang up? We see what the Lord has done with us. Behold, I stand at the door and I continue to knock. Oh, the patience. Oh, the grace of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. My friend, listen. Can you go back in memory? When was the first time that the word of God reached your heart with power? When was the first time that you were gripped with your need of getting right with God? You said, oh, I'd like to get that thing settled. Oh, how I'd like to know I was saved. But you said, I'll wait a little. And you went out. And years went past. And one day you were brought face to face again with the claims of God. God spoke twice. Did you listen? Is he speaking to you today for the second time? Or the third time? How often do you think God will speak to you? Oh, I think a lot of the grace of God. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go. And Jonah arose. It was God's message. It was a plain and pointed message. And it was effective. Jonah obeyed the Lord. And in obeying the Lord, he went to the great city of Nineveh. Oh, the grace of God to send a preacher to such a wicked city as the city of Nineveh. Oh, the grace of God to send someone to speak a message to a sinner like you or me. And that city, the people of that city repented, from the king right down to the meanest man on the street. Jonah, the man who had fled from God, but repented and was restored. He goes and preaches his message, and he conducted, it would seem, one of the greatest revivals of all time. A whole city, a big city. 60 miles in circumference. Washington, D.C., I think is 65. Take the beltway around Washington. 65 miles. Nineveh, 60 miles. Took him 3 days walking through it. Up one street, down the other. Preaching the same message, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What a message. It was a message from God. A message calling them to repent because of their sin. And they listened to the message of this man. Now remember, when you come to the New Testament, people say, we want a sign, give us a sign. He says, there was no sign given the wicked generation. Except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. See, greater than Jonah is here. Jonah, who was raised out of the place of death, so to speak, went and preached to the city of Nineveh. They listened to his message. What a sign. That's the man that was cast overboard. That's the man that was down in the Mediterranean for 3 days. And now here he is alive and preaching to us. What a sign. Yes, but there was a man crucified on Calvary's cross. Buried in Joseph's tomb. Was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. A greater than Jonah. Lives in the power of an indissoluble life. And God's message to you and me today is this. There's salvation in Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh, my friend, what will you do with a message from God? Will you repent and believe? Let's sing a verse of a hymn together, shall we? Number 240. 240. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. 'Tis Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Number 240. Bobby will come up and lead us with these two verses, then we'll close the meeting with prayer.